moment tonight, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalms 119. Just one psalm tonight. Just kidding. Just one verse, actually, verse 17. We're going to look at one verse, and as I was praying over what the Lord would have me to encourage the church with here tonight, I kept coming back to Psalm 119 and verse 17. Just so you know, we haven't given up on our series in 2 Samuel. We will get back to that. I'm just waiting for the appropriate time. But looking forward to what God has for us in Psalm 119 and verse 17. The Bible says here, I'll read this one verse. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Let's read that again. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Would you bow for prayer with me tonight? Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your goodness, and Lord, that you are bountiful with us, and that you're so grace, you show us grace and mercy, Lord, at every turn. And Father, tonight, as we just give attention to your goodness to us and our response to that goodness, Lord, may we just have a spirit of praise and worship and thankfulness even during the time of preaching. Lord, would you help me as I communicate the passages that we'll look at and the truths, Lord, from your word. Lord, we just begin by saying thank you. Thank you for your goodness, thankful for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This one verse, verse 17, is really formatted in a request. It is in a request form. Deal bountifully with thy servant. He is crying out to God. The writer, the author here, is crying out to God, asking for his bountiful blessings, asking for his bountiful hand. And though this verse is in a form of a request, I think tonight we must just simply say that God has already dealt bountifully with each and every one of us. Our God is good. He has dealt with us in a kind and bountiful way. I'm reminded of Psalm 13 and verse 6. Where the Bible says, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And many times as we're singing the hymns and we're making mention of God's goodness and God's sacrifice and God's grace, we really are living out Psalm 13 and verse 6. As we sing unto him, we praise him, we are thankful toward him because of his goodness, because he's dealt bountifully with us. And I think we have a good working understanding of what it means for him to deal bountifully with us. But I think that we could just simply say, he treats us pretty good. He treats us very good. We could use the terminology used in other parts of Scripture. We could say that God loads us up with benefits. He loads us up with his goodness. He blesses us in more ways than we can tell. And as I was just kind of drilling down on this one verse of Scripture and even doing some word studies, I found this phrase, deal bountifully, it really comes from one root word in the original language, but its use and its understanding is extremely broad in its meaning. And I think that's suitable because God's goodness to us is very broad. It's very deep and it's very wide. And in trying to understand the sense of the word, just did a simple word study and just to see how else this deal bountifully was used in Scripture. And we find the underlying word, gamal, it appears in 37 verses across the Bible. If you notice, the heading of this section of Psalm 119 is gamal, and each and every opening word of each verse begins with that G, if you will, to use our English understanding, but begins with that G word. And the first verse here begins with gamal. And as I did a simple word search where if you have any simple free Bible software, you can do an inline search where what it does, it's basically using the Strong's Concordance to understand what this underlying word is, and then it'll give you all of the verses where this underlying word is used in the Scriptures, and thus you can go and read how this word was translated all throughout our King James Bible, and it really helps you to understand that this is a very broad word in many ways. And as we work through this tonight, I will from time to time make mention of passages we'll read where that word exists, but it using a different English word to describe what it means for God to deal bountifully with us or for this idea. I just want to begin tonight not to sound like a broken record or to say that which we already know, but maybe just to remind us of a simple reality that the Lord has dealt bountifully with us. Bountiful, that means liberal in bestowing gifts and favors. He's good to us. He's generous. He gives us so much. He has dealt bountifully with you and with me through the salvation that he extends. Psalm 13, verses 5 and 6 says this, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." The Lord's been generous with us in making a way of salvation. God has been generous with you and with me because he's not dealt with us in the way that we deserve to be dealt with. He's shown us mercy. He extends his mercy. Would you turn with me to Psalm 103? I want us to see this one. We may turn from time to time. You can keep your finger there in Psalm 119, but we're going to be all over the place here tonight. But in Psalm 103, I want you to notice this. He's not dealt with us in a way that we deserve to be dealt with. In Psalm 103 and verse 10, it says this, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins." Aren't you thankful for that? He hasn't given us what we deserve because we deserve hell. We deserve separation from God. He has not dealt with us after our sins, notice this, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That word rewarded there is gamal. He's not dealt with us in the way that we deserve to be dealt with. "For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." Say, how high is the sky above the earth? Well, infinitely high. So thus is his mercy infinitely above, infinite in its expansion. "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." No matter how long you have been saved, no matter how long that you have known Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it does a Christian good to remember that we are not getting what we deserve. He's been merciful. Maybe as a soul winner, maybe as you've shared the gospel with those around you, and you get to the verse in the Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death," and we consider the position of the person we're talking to, but we need to understand that the wages of our sin is death too. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the only reason that we are not receiving the wages that our sin has earned us is simply because Jesus has paid the price for our sin. Our sin, even as Christians though, we must acknowledge that our sin brings with it still, as we disobey and we follow after our own ways, our sin brings with it certain consequences, that is true, but the consequences are far less than we deserve. It's interesting how Ezra put this in Ezra chapter 9 and verse 13. He says this, "After all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespasses," He's saying, Lord, after all the things that have come on us because of our sin against you, because of the evil things that we did, this is what he says. Seeing that thou, our God, has punished us less than our iniquities deserve and has given us such deliverance as this. We don't deserve the way he forgives our sin. We don't deserve the way that he allows us to have a relationship with God the Father through the righteousness of Christ. We don't deserve the righteousness that is applied to our account as Christians. We don't deserve it. Psalm 142 and verse 7 says, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him, this is Jesus, for he hath made him, made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God has dealt so bountifully. He has bestowed such gracious mercy and benevolent gifts upon us so far as to send his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was born sinless and lived a sinless life only to go to the cross and have the weight of our sin nailed on him on the tree. We don't deserve that kind of love. We don't deserve that kind of benefit, that bountiful mercy. But he's dealt with us bountifully to love us and to extend to us his free gift of salvation. I want us to also notice tonight and consider, as we consider the bountiful hand of God, that he has dealt bountifully with us by nurturing and growing us in our immaturity. One interesting thing that I found as I studied this word deal bountifully and the way it appears in Scripture, the word gamal, it's translated dealt bountifully here in our text, but many times throughout the Old Testament, we see this underlying word not translated deal bountifully, but in relationship to the way that a mother nurses a child. In fact, it's translated in many places in relation to weaning. In Genesis 21 and verse 8, and the child grew and was weaned, and that's the same underlying word. And so we understand that this idea, it has the thought of the nurture and sustenance of a mother. Just as a mother is able to nurse and to nurture that infant, providing all of his or her needs to grow, God in his gentle way nurtures and provides for our growth in our great immaturity. You know, when an infant soils his diaper, it's to be expected. In fact, the first few diapers after getting home from the hospital, oh, look at that, so cute. It's to be expected. But if someone took an infant who's in diapers and began to berate them for messing in their diaper, to soiling in their, why don't you just grow up? That would be so silly. In the same way, God is patient with us in our great immaturity. If you're still there in Psalm 103, let's keep reading just a little bit. Let's back up into verse 8 just to remember what we've read. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Psalm 103, verse 8, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I love this next verse. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembered that we are dust. He's merciful. He's gracious to us in our moments of great immaturity. He's patient. God is patient in his long suffering towards you and towards me. Psalm 86, verse 15 says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long suffering, and plenteous in mercy. and truth. He's long-suffering towards us. What does that word long-suffering mean? Many times we could just simply substitute the word patience there, but I don't think patience really does the word long-suffering as much justice as the word long-suffering is. Because the word long-suffering, it means to suffer long at the hand of another. And you and I can think back to maybe before we were saved or in our immaturity as Christians, and even maybe for some of us that's not so far back, and think all the ways in which we had frustrated is not the right word, but grieved the Holy Spirit. Well, where we have quenched the Spirit, where we have gone contrary to His Word, and He suffered at our hand, yet He was long-suffering and patient toward us. He is patient, yet He desires that we grow and mature and provides what we need so that we can. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." He loves us and He is patient with us, but He gives us the Word of God that will sustain, that will grow us and mature us. Yeah. Thinking of the passage there in Timothy, it says that the man of God may be perfect, wanting nothing. He can be mature through the study of the Word of God. Next, let's consider that He's dealt bountifully with us tonight in bearing fruit in our Christian lives. The word gamal is translated in several passages, both in Numbers and in Isaiah, in relationship to yielding and bearing fruit. In Numbers 17:8, the word is translated yielding in the sense of Aaron's rod yielding almonds. And in Isaiah 18 and verse 5, it's the word ripening is used as a grape is ripening in the flower. And He's dealt bountifully in us by simply being willing to do His work in us and in our life. The fruit of the Spirit we know is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. The fruit of the Spirit that is in our lives is not manufactured by self-effort, but it's manufactured by His grace as we submit and yield to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Truth is, tonight we could go on and on about His bountiful dealings with us. Every blessing that we have is a gift from Him. I quote it often, James 1:17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Blessed be the Lord, it says in Psalm 68:19, "who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah." Psalm 145:9, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." He's good to us. He's good to us in giving us family. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, the Bible says. He's good to us to give us family. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Psalm 127, 3 and 5 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." Psalm 128, 3 through 4 really paints a picture here. "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." He's good to give us family. He's good to give us work. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 19 says, "Every man also to whom God giveth hath given riches and wealth, hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor." This is the gift of God. If you've got the strength and the wherewithal to get up and go to work tomorrow, praise the Lord, you're blessed. If you've had the ability in your life to work consistently, maybe now you're retired, but you're still enjoying the fruits of the time which God gave you to labor in whatever vocation it was, praise the Lord for his goodness. Praise the Lord that he's good to give us work. He's good to meet our needs. Reminded of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He provides for us. He's good to answer our prayers and to have that relationship with us. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. And I could go on and on. No doubt we could all have a time of testimony tonight and stand and give thanks to the Lord for all of the benefits, all of his bountiful blessings, and the way that he has dealt with us, because his blessings are, in a sense, innumerable. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. He's good. Is he good to us? Why is he good to us to answer our prayers? Why is he good to us to meet our needs, to give us work and employment? Why does he bless us with family? Why does he bear his fruit in our life? Why is he patient in our immaturity and in our spiritual growth? Why did he forgive us and save us and place us into the family of God? Why does the Lord deal so bountifully with you and with me? Is it just so that we can have a great life? No, it's not. Is it just so that we can get the things that we like and we can be pleased and we can enjoy them? No, it's not. Is it so that we can, as the one biblical author would say, is it so that we can consume it upon our lusts and desires just to get what we want? No, it is not. I submit to you tonight that the Lord deals bountifully with you. He deals bountifully with me so that we might live abundantly for him. Notice right here in our text, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and what? Keep thy word. He's praying, he's asking God, God, would you bless me? Not so that I can have the things that I want, so that I can do the things that I want to do. He's saying, God, would you bless me so that I might continue and even in a greater capacity be an obedient servant. I might keep thy word. This one verse really puts things into perspective, doesn't it? He blesses us. He deals with us bountifully so that we will in turn take this life and whatever blessings we receive and use them for his honor and for his glory. Maybe we might say it this way. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed in order to obey and to serve. In fact, I can remember one instance where God spoke to Abraham in the Abrahamic covenant. And I understand that I'm not putting us today in the place of Abraham here, but I believe the principle is true, and that when God chooses someone for his purpose, God chooses them and blesses them and uses them, not just for their own, that person's pleasure, but for God's pleasure, for his own pleasure. Genesis 12, verse 2, it says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. The blessings that you and I enjoy and the blessings that you and I pray for, they're not about us, but are for the purpose of serving him with a greater capacity. In fact, I think there's a lesson from this one verse here to give us instructions on how that we should even pray. Verse 7, he says, deal bountifully with thy servant. Lord, bless me that I may live and keep thy word. And so his motivation here is obedience. In James chapter 4, in verses 3 and 4, it says that ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. What does it mean? You're asking with the wrong motives, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, ye know not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And so often our prayer requests remain unanswered because we're not praying according to the will of God. We're not praying so that we might be more obedient and more in his will. We're praying so that we can get what we want and do what we want. That's not the right perspective. We should remember that the reason that God blesses us is to serve Him and continue in obedience to Him. Now, let me ask you a question that I already know the answer to. Has God dealt with you bountifully? The answer to that is yes, He has. Let me ask you this tonight. Are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And I know that's the majority of the folks here tonight. Let me help you understand this. And I believe you already know it. You probably need to be reminded of it. If you're saved, you're not your own. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore what? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God didn't save you primarily so that you could have a good life. He saved you primarily so that you could use your life to serve Him. And the byproduct of a life dedicated to His service is what? It's a wonderful life. And it's a blessing. But we must put first things first. You are not your own. You were not saved simply to escape the fires of hell, though that is a part of salvation. We are saved and sanctified to serve Him. Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2? I want us to see this. Ephesians chapter 2. This is a beautiful picture of the past, present, and future of a Christian. In Ephesians chapter 2, in the first, I believe, three verses, maybe the part of the fourth there, speaks of what was past, where you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And then verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in great mercy, wherewith He loved us. Jump down to verse 8, if you would. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You can't earn it. You can't do anything to deserve it. It is a free gift, undeserved, unearned, not of works, he says in verse 9, lest any man should boast. So He's offered us this free gift of salvation, and if you're saved, you've accepted that gift. But we need to understand something about what that means for us and what our purpose is now that we have accepted it. Notice verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God saved you to do right, live right. How about this? He saved you to keep His word, to be obedient. I appreciate the way that it says that we're His workmanship in verse 10. If you've ever been around a craftsman who's proud of their work, it shows. Whether it be a carpenter who's building furniture, whether it be some other craftsman in whatever field it may be, they take pride in their work because it is a reflection upon them as the craftsman, as the workman. And you and I, as Christians, are the work of Jesus Christ. But many times Christians are not the proper reflection that they should be upon their Savior. We're not saved so that we can have this wonderful life. We're saved to serve Him, and that produces a wonderful and glorious Christian life. Is He growing and sanctifying you by producing His fruit in your life? Can others see the change that God has begun in you? The Bible says, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But our Christian growth, my friends, is not simply a notch on our belt for the admiration of those around us. It is so that we can be mature, useful servants to do our Father's business. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Has He given you a family? Oh, we strive for godly marriages at Foundation Baptist Church. Not merely to have a peaceful union, but so that husband and wife would be a strong unit serving the Lord together. We strive for well-mannered and obedient children, not merely for a peaceful home, but so that they will receive the things of God and glorify and serve Him with their lives. Psalm 78, verse 5 through 7 says this, for He established a testimony in Jacob and anointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And the reason that God has blessed us with families here at Foundation Baptist Church is not simply so that we can have this wonderful life, though it is a wonderful life. It's so that we can teach the next generation to serve him and be obedient to him and glorify him. And then we can have no greater joy than to hear that our children walk in truth, as it says in 3 John 4. Has he given you a job? Is he meeting your needs? Honor him in the workplace. Honor him with the first fruits of your increase. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. We enjoy many blessings from God. But the blessings of the Lord are not merely for our enjoyment, but are to enable us and equip us for greater service to him. The Lord deals bountifully with us so that we might live abundantly for him. If you would stand with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm so thankful for your goodness. Lord, you've dealt bountifully with each and every one of us in here tonight. Lord, time would fail us to give attention to all your benefits. Time would fail us to give attention to even scratch the surface of your goodness. But Father, you have dealt bountifully with us. And Lord, may we not see your blessings, Lord, as something merely for our own pleasure, but that we might be used greater for your pleasure. Help us to have that selfless attitude toward your goodness to us. We love you. We need you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed as Lydia begins to play, I want to give you a moment to do business with the Lord. You need to sit there at your seat, come to the altar, I'll give you some time. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for your goodness, thankful for your mercy and for your grace, thankful for these, your people. And Lord, thankful for your benefits and the way that you deal with us in such a bountiful manner. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.